Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
The Buffalo Bills select Keon Coleman, receiver.
The 2024 draft class is complete.
Yeah, I know. I love it. Here we go. Let's grade it, baby.
Let's grade it.
Justin Shorter, Mac Hollins, Keon Coleman, Quintez Cephas.
Mike Danger.
Yeah, I haven't talked about the Bears yet, but I'm a happy Chicago Bears fan for the first time in many, many years during the NFL draft.
Gene Battaglia.
The executive producer's like, you know, I didn't realize you did an Owen Wilson impression. That was pretty funny. I'm like, thanks. That was actually Danger. So,
wow.
Still, it goes for icing.
They score as a result of that. Declan Carlisle shoots it toward the net front. Gabe Forche will tip this puck through. This series is tied at one.
How dare you? How dare you?
The Rangers beat the Capitals 4-2 to sweep that series 4-0.
The Timberwolves have swept a postseason series.
The Wolves.
The Wolves. Get up in here. Seriously.
Just want to make sure that we're all appreciating LeBron James.
Kentucky Derby's coming up. Baseball. Lots to get to. Where to start?
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan. Rochester.
We welcome you back into the Sports Bar. It's Danger and Battaglia. Glad you're with us and listening along at 95.7 FM, AM 950. The free to download Odyssey app for your smart device when you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan. We've even got our YouTube channel up with the stream on our YouTube channel at The Fan Rochester and twitch.tv/TheFanRochester as well. We'll be joined later this hour by NewYorkUpstate.com's Ryan Talbot, who's tracking undrafted free agents, and we'll also get his take on the Bills 2024 draft haul coming up here in about 20 minutes.
Yeah, Ryan, right on top of stuff. We have time for your calls this segment. If you like, 866-4FAN, 866-4326. You can also write to us on X, our handle, TheFanRochester.
I have a take of the year nominee, and it comes from, in my opinion, the best television show going right now.
Television show in sports or a television show period?
Television show period.
Okay.
The best thing going.
Okay.
We'll get into it.
Danger, anybody remember Michael Sam? He was the pass rusher out of Missouri entering the NFL draft, and he was also the first openly gay player to enter the draft. And the story went like this. We get to day three. It's Saturday. It's the seventh round, and Sam is still available. And the reason he's not being selected, actually, it's just not a good NFL prospect. He's a tweener, and actually, that would prove to be true. He'd wash out a couple years later. But the NFL realizes in the seventh round, geez, because undrafted, we have a PR problem. And as the story goes, it's the St. Louis Rams owner, Stan Kroenke, getting the directive from the NFL. Hey, you want to move to L.A.? Well, then help us out here. And the Rams select Sam. Why am I bringing this story up today? Why? Why would the Buffalo Bills waste a draft pick on a guy who has never played a down of football in his life? Yes, Travis Clayton, 6'7". He's strong. He's a rugby player. You know he boxed? Look, if you really liked him, then an undrafted free agent, that would have been the way to go. But now the NFL International Pathway Project says, see, look, we had a guy get drafted. We know why Stan Kroenke got strong-armed by Goodell in 2014. Am I allowed to draw the analogy here? And if so, then why was Pegula tapped on the shoulder to do this? Honestly, I think it's a wasted pick by Brandon Bean. If you're going to spend a draft pick, the guy has to make the roster.
Seventh rounder, though, Gene. I mean, the seventh rounder gets plucked by other teams if you leave him on the practice squad and he's worth his weight, right? We've seen this happen time and time again. So at minimum here, if you go with that assumption that, hey, it's a seventh rounder, and if we were to draft a guy who, I don't know, might actually have some experience, chances are he doesn't make the team. He gets picked up off of a practice squad. This gives them a little bit of that flexibility, right, on game day with the practice squad exemption and the whole thing that comes with the international player.
There is, on game day? What are you kidding me? Hey, somebody who's never played football before, here he is going in a left guard. Danger, like, it's going to be weird. Like, Christian Wade, hey, that was a lot of fun. Okay, like, everybody always asked about Christian Wade, and he stuck around another year. And
there's a lot of arrogance with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. They've got a lot of arrogance. Like, it's really, really becoming evident with the moves that they make and that they have made, especially here over the course of the last month. You trade away arguably your best player on offense. I know a lot of people would say it's Josh Allen. I'm saying Josh Allen isn't Josh Allen without Steph Diggs first. He's gone. You trade out of the first round partially by giving Kansas City the fastest player in the draft.
That's arrogant.
And now you say, you know what? A guy who has no football experience, we're going to draft him. Because why? Well, we believe that Aaron Cromer and anybody that works with offensive line, we can make something of this guy.
Okay. Sure, that may be true. Will you entertain my tinfoil hat theory here? Because, like, if you're going with the Kroenke theory, like, hey, that's, I'm not telling you, you can go read about it. Like,
this for that?
Yeah. Like, okay, it's the owners' meetings that were back in March. Terry Pegula gets up. Hey, how are PSLs going? Not so great. Not so great. Or Terry Pegula, hey, I've got to sell 25%. Why would you sell 25% ballpark of your franchise? What is really going on there?
And the NFL, you think by doing this, the NFL will...
I don't know. Like, if the NFL really wanted one of their guys to get drafted, wouldn't you think you would have, like, a guy that would actually have, I don't know, played a down football in their life?
Yeah. Well, it'll be a fun camp story, won't it? The story of Travis Clayton and whether or not he even sees the field. But, you know, the preseason, meaningless games. We'll see some Travis Clayton. We'll get to, you know, hear the story of how he doesn't have any. This is his first pro football experience. You know what? I'll make a prediction. Travis Clayton will be on set with us at the sports bar at some point during training camp. I guarantee you he'll eat up a slot that maybe was occupied by Josh Allen last summer.
Oh, are you kidding me? Because he'll have that accent and he'll be, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll fall head over heels. Yeah. Hey, can I share a quick take on the Knicks-Sixers series? We haven't talked any NBA yet this afternoon. Philly was a team that I expected more out of, to be honest. I said it before the postseason started that I could see the Sixers with Embiid making a run because when he's on the court, they typically don't lose and he usually looks like an MVP when he's on the court. This series could be over in five, and the Sixers have done nothing but complain about officiating, a lack of home court advantage, their coach. I know he's not 100%, but the reason why the Sixers are about to be eliminated, it's their star. It's Embiid. In the biggest moments, Joel Embiid has absolutely wilted. He's shooting 3 of 18 and has 2 total rebounds in 4 fourth quarters this series against the Knicks. So I'm asking, is he out of shape? Because for as good as he can look when his team has needed him the most, he has been invisible.
Well, he's got Bell's palsy, so there's that. But
I know he's not 100%.
That's one of those things like, okay, blurred vision, but to what degree is that blurred vision? You know he's not 100%. It's kind of funny here as a New York fan, just to kind of see Philly fan kind of dumping their tickets to Knick fan and Knick fan kind of taking over the arena yesterday.
That was a takeover,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Knicks
travel well.
Yeah.
The Knicks do travel well. And look, they're a lot of fun. Like, we've liked the Knicks for a good part of this season. We've been talking about how they look fun. They're a fun team. And Brunson, my God. I mean, even when a guy like Hart completely is completely invisible like he was yesterday. Doesn't really offer anything in terms of offensive production. Brunson just stepping it up. Big, big game for the Knicks, and they are on the brink of eliminating the Sixers.
Yeah, which you are standing by. Indiana will get this done over Milwaukee.
Yeah, Indiana's going to get by Milwaukee.
Yeah, so you would have Indiana, Boston. I'm assuming Boston doesn't collapse here. They'll end up winning that series against Miami. So
good pathway for the Knicks.
Cleveland, New York is going to be fun, though.
Because or Orlando. I mean, that's the series that nobody cares about might be the one that actually goes seven games. That Cleveland-Orlando series, they're just beating each other up.
Yeah, the seventh quarterback selected in the draft. I mean, that first round, we're going to remember that forever, right? And we're going to be comparing. Like, after Bo Nix, okay, went to Denver, you had to wait until round five.
Yeah.
Spencer Rattler, South Carolina, going to the Saints. Guy? Yeah, like, how do we get from Spencer Rattler, that's the guy who's going to be next year's number one overall, to, oh, yeah, I forgot about him. And here's one thing I find interesting about it. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport saying, there was a reason why he fell. It goes back to a reality show that followed him around in high school named Quarterback One. I missed this. Probably a lot of people did. The most damning thing is that Rattler got suspended for his final high school game. Rappaport, quote, it didn't make him look great. It's unbelievable how many teams mentioned this to me, the image of him in that show, and how they couldn't get it out of their heads. Like, I think on the one hand, that's a little unfair. If the kid's in high school, he's 17, he shouldn't be judged like that. But guess what? I don't blame any team for wanting to look at the whole picture.
You know, if you're 17 years old and you're high school and you don't want a camera crew following you around, you can say no.
Don't sign up for the show.
You don't have to sign up for the show. I mean, you put that on yourself by having a camera crew followed by saying yes. It has a lot of, it gives me a lot of Todd Marinovich vibes. You know, like Todd Marinovich was the guy that everybody thought was going to be that guy, you know, and there was so much attention paid to this unbelievable prospect. And when he finally did get his chance in the NFL, flamed out completely. Just zero. A complete zero. I don't know what Rattler's makeup is. He's been through a lot and he's kind of shifted gears here. He's going to be a Saint. And if you're the Saints, I kind of like the pick. It's low risk. You took him late and he may never see the field, or he could actually show with a chip on his shoulder that everybody, including you and I, are wrong on him. But I don't know.
Now I'm ready for preseason football. Oh, come on. Come on. Give me the schedule. Was it next week we get the schedule? I think
we'll be getting it soon here in May, right? Some point in May, we'll get that schedule. All right. Now I want to present, if I may, a take of the year nominee. And I teased this by saying it is courtesy of the best TV show going right now. That TV show is the NBA on TNT. Not necessarily the games, but what you get out of those guys in the studio never disappoints. And mainly it's one guy that, frankly, in this space, in the take space, we haven't given him enough credit for being a master takesman, one of the best of all time. So I present to you from this weekend my take of the year nominee. This is Charles Barkley on where the New Orleans Pelicans will be spending their offseason.
Disappointed in New Orleans. Where they going, Chuck? Galveston? That dirty-ass water. We're not even going to sit near the Cancun. We're going to sit near the Galveston with that dirty-ass water, be washed up on the shore. You people think they're in the beach. Y'all can't. Y'all going to send y'all to Cancun. Y'all drive y'all and y'all quit. Drive your ass down to Galveston. Come on, man.
So they're not taking a little.
Come on, they didn't even try, man. No, we're not getting them no plane ticket to the beach. We send their ass to Galveston, Texas, right where that dirty water washed up on the beach. They can't even get in the water. Come on, man.
What makes it great is everybody is reacting the same way. You can hear the people in the studio. They can't keep their composure. Everybody's dying. Everybody's laughing because of the thought of basketball team being sent in the offseason to Galveston, Texas with their dirty ass water. You know, people think they're at the beach. Chuck, you know what Chuck did there, Gino? He just described Lake Ontario Beach State Park. We think we have a beach in Charlotte. Dirty ass water. Can't wait to see Zion in Texas after tonight.
That's like we're getting a state park here at High Falls. Like, hey, let's go to the brew house and let's bring in out of town visitors. I don't know. Like, that water sometimes looks absolutely disgusting coming over the. Like, we think of Niagara Falls and pretty water going over. Yeah. Like, no, we got some dirty water in that river.
Dirty ass water that you can't even go into.
No.
We send you to Galveston. Charles Barkley, take of the year nominee on where to send the New Orleans Pelicans based on their postseason performance. They have looked flat, man. I like the Thunder to close that series out tonight.
You know, Zion needs to be Zion. And that series on NBA TV tonight, that's like, no, we don't want, the NBA doesn't want to show you the New Orleans Pelicans. Yeah. Like, you can go find it if you want.
Nothing there to see.
Physically, I'm fine. Now it's just a matter of when I feel like Zion. I know the atmosphere I'd be in here based off like the playoff experience. So now it's just a matter of when I feel like Zion. I don't know how else to say it. It just sucks.
How about not you? Using the third person, that's how else you say it,
Zion. You don't refer to yourself in the third person, make everybody hate you. I can't get down with that team. I can't get down with that guy. I can't get down with Giannis.
I can get down with Charles Barkley, though. You're absolutely right about that being the best sports show. Like, wouldn't you want Charles to, like, be on a bigger platform, though? I mean, NBA fans are like, no, but I always thought he would, like, be your Fox News, CNN host, whatever, like, let him talk about the world.
He shows up on hockey every now and then, and every time he does, I'm like, the guy, there's nothing this guy can't talk about. He's got a take for everything. He's got opinions on everything. You might not like every one of his opinions, but they make you think. I was having a discussion after our Thursday show from Three Heads, and you have to forgive me. I forget who I was talking to, but we were talking about Stephen A. came up, and I had to remind the person I was talking to that, look, takes are currency. Stephen A. is the highest paid employee at ESPN, and it's simply because he has opinions. But you can hate Stephen A. I hate Stephen A., and a lot of you do hate Stephen A. I get that. The analogy I use is, think back to when Howard Stern was still on terrestrial radio. Everybody had an opinion on Howard Stern. You either loved him or you hated him, but he did things that split the audience. And people would listen to him even if they hated him. In fact, they would listen to him more if they hated him, right? And that's what I got, like, Howard Stern. Stephen A. feels like what Howard Stern was at that time. That's kind of where he is now. Like, a lot of people can't stand Stephen A. I get it. I see what he's doing.
Yeah, but it's the style, the delivery, perhaps. I think Charles does it in a different way.
Charles is great.
Charles, he's just, it's a little more low-key, less in your face than Stephen A.
What Stephen A. needs to do is master self-deprecation. What made a lot of people turn on Howard Stern and actually like Howard Stern was when he started getting vulnerable and real about his shortcomings, and it made him human.
He goes through a divorce. I mean, that'll happen.
Yeah. And Stephen A. doesn't really let us, at least on the main platform that he's on ESPN, we don't really get the chance for that to happen. And Charles is self-deprecating because he's Charles. You look at him, he's like, he's the round mound of rebound.
Watch his golf swing. How can he not be?
Right. So he's already got that built in. As soon as he opens his mouth, you know he's not taking any of this too seriously. And that's, man, that's why we love him. We said, so they're as the Galveston with the dirty ass water. They think it's a beach. Ryan Talbot from NewYorkUpstate.com stops by the sports bar next, not to just talk Bills draft, but also undrafted free agents signed by the Buffalo Bills and who we'll be seeing later this summer at St. John Fisher University. So we look forward to our conversation next with Ryan Talbot here on The Fan. You can join us at 866-4FAN, 585-866-4326.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little
or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Bills today picking up the fifth-year option on Gregory Rousseau. The defensive end will be under contract through 2025. Team also signing wide receiver Quintez Cephas, formerly a Lion. Cephas suspended by the league last year is for violating the gambling policy. Defensive tackle Dwayne Carter is the third-round pick from Duke.
Outside of that, I can't wait to get here, learn the landscape, learn Buffalo, and actually figure out, you know, where I can make the biggest impact, you know, where it will be technically my community outside of this facility and, you know, the team. So now I got to get my boots on the ground, figure it out, but who knows? That's TBD, honestly.
We'll talk to Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com, and the Shout Podcast coming up next year in the Sports Bar. The Amherst lost yesterday to Syracuse. Now that the series tied at one game each, game three coming up Thursday night in the Salt City. Wings are off tonight. Syracuse coming to town tomorrow. Gima Taglin, the sports leader, the Fan Rochester.
Meet or on the rocks. It's the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
I mean, I don't think it's anything to just feel. You know, I'm coming here to be myself, work for everything that I'm going to get, and, you know, hopefully we're going to win some games. That's all I have to say about that.
Bills wide receiver Keon Coleman. First pick off the board Friday night, round two of the NFL draft in Detroit. Buffalo Bills. Talk some NFL draft with Ryan Talbot, NewYorkUpstate.com. Ryan, we've had some time to kind of live with the idea that Brandon Bean thought it'd be a good idea to trade out of the first round, give up his pick to Kansas City, and then take Keon Coleman with the first pick on Friday night. How are we sitting with everything all these hours later?
Yeah, you know, I'm sitting pretty well with it. I know that Brandon Bean went into last season thinking he was going to get a third-round pick. Compensatory formula for Tremaine Edmonds, and that never happened. So I figured if he was going to go one way in this draft, trading down would make sense in terms of picking up that extra asset. And sure enough, he gets that third, and then he trades down out of the first round again, and he picks up a few more valuable picks. So not just this year, but even next year. Now the Bills are all of a sudden in a really good spot with the draft picks and in, you know, the players that they could add potentially next year as well. But looking at this draft class, there's a lot of players that I really do like in terms of their fit and how they're going to contribute immediately for the Bills.
Yeah, I think a lot of people may be disappointed with Coleman only because, well, we're reading up on all these receivers and, you know, I didn't expect the first pick to be in the second round, Ryan. So is part of the disappointment, would you say, just maybe a little bit of the bias on all the research and all the opinions that we came to our own conclusions entering the draft?
Yeah, somewhat. I mean, I think a lot of people, too, looked at his 40 time at the combine, and it probably drove them down or drove him down on their boards. But, you know, I posted something on social media yesterday. I took the top 10 wide receivers in receiving yards last season, and other than Tyreek Hill, every receiver was in those 4.4 to 4.6 range. So it's not like you have these blazing speed guys that are dominating the league. I know that a lot of people are saying, oh, they gave Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs. And listen, if any team is going to be able to utilize him, it's Andy Reid and the way that he's worked with receivers of that caliber, DeSean Jackson, and not so much Tyreek Hill, but to a certain extent, Tyreek Hill. For the Bills, Keon Coleman made sense. He is a true X receiver on the outside. The catch radius is fantastic. He has great hands. I saw some people comparing him to Gabe Davis. He has much better hands than Gabe Davis does. I think that Brandon Marshall is a more realistic comparison for Keon Coleman. Now, Coleman will have to put in a lot of work to be that caliber of a player because Brandon Marshall was a great one in his prime. But I do think that I got a really good player that fits what they were looking for in round two.
Ryan, what about his skill set coming into the pre-draft process? A lot of people that evaluate and scout these talented wide receivers can kind of put him in different buckets and compare him to other players. And one guy that I saw, Matt Harmon, Reception Perception, kind of compare Keon Coleman to coming out of college was Amon-Ra St. Brown. A lot of the same kind of challenges with separation and, you know, kind of tested out the same way as Keon Coleman. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a big slot doing really well in Detroit. Do you think the Bills are going to utilize Coleman in any way outside of just that X receiver, or is it solely going to be Coleman's on the outside and we're going to expect him to use his physicality and his hands to come down with everything that gets thrown his way?
I think they're going to try to have him on the outside more than not, but they'd be foolish not to throw him inside every now and then. I mean, they have multiple receivers that can play inside and outside. Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman all come to mind. So, you know, from time to time, putting him in the slot's not a bad idea. And Amon-Ra St. Brown finished third in receiving yards for a reason last year. And once again, if Coleman matches up with St. Brown at all in terms of his production in this league, people are going to go back and say that the Bills found a real gem by waiting and moving down on the draft board.
Ryan, this is a criticism I've heard quite often. The Bills didn't do enough at the wide receiver position in the draft. And certainly I would have bet they would have taken more than just the one guy. But whether that's street free agents or get your thoughts here on Quintez Cephas here. I mean, is, you know, like how would you handicap his, you know, your chances of making this final 53?
You know, he has an outside shot. I wouldn't make him a favorite in terms of making this roster, but he was productive with Detroit. He's had some injury issues, though. Besides missing all of last year due to the gambling suspension, he was put on the IR the previous 2 years. But his first 2 years in the league, he was pretty productive. Again, doesn't have blazing speed, but he gets open. He catches the ball. He does a nice job there. So he has as good of a shot as anyone on the bottom of that roster in that question mark area, that is, maybe that final one or two receiver spots come training camp. All he has to do is show this coaching staff and regime that he can fit and be a contributor to this roster.
Ryan, I want to talk undrafted free agent. We love your tracker up now at NewYorkUpstate.com, but I want to get back to some of the selections made over the course of the weekend, including the other second round pick that the Bills had with which they decided to use on safety, Cole Bishop out of Utah. And I think there is a path to Bishop seeing some time early in his young career on the field as well.
Yeah, Bishop was one of my favorite prospects in the safety position in this draft class, and he can play both spots. You can interchange him. You can use him as a third safety if you don't want to get him on the field immediately as a rookie. If you're comfortable with Mike Edwards and Taylor Rapp as your starting combination, that's fine. But Bishop is also a tremendous pass rusher. He's great at blitzing, getting after the quarterback. I really think that in this system, the way that Sean McDermott and company have really coached up these members of the secondary cornerbacks and safeties, that Bishop has a chance to be a really good player sooner rather than later.
Ray Davis going in the fourth round. I mean, you read his story, Ryan, just very inspiring how literally he is a self-made man after the adversities he kind of faced going through foster care. As far as how he fits in this Bills offense here, I mean, is he kind of becoming your pass-catching running back? How do you see the Bills utilizing Ray Davis?
Davis did get better as a pass catcher last year. He showed that he has some talent there, but you know, he's going to be that short yardage back, in my opinion. He's going to be that running back that you can have in the backfield on obvious passing downs. He's good at picking up blitzes. He's a solid blocker already. You know, the only knock against him is probably his age. He's 23 years old already, but I don't anticipate, and I'm not a big fan of giving running backs a second contract unless you have someone that's really special. So by the time this first contract runs out, one, he's still young enough that you could re-sign him if need be, but age was the only knock against him, and that's, you know, that's not a huge thing at the end of the day. I like the fit. It's exactly what the Bills needed because, you know, Ty Johnson, I thought, did a really nice job when called upon to block, but I thought he had a little bit more juice in the running game. Carter is going to be really good in terms of that pure blocker, short yardage between the tackles, take some of that punishment off of Josh Allen in short yardage situations. I know you can always go to Allen on those third and inches, fourth and inches QB sneak, but you can also give Ray Davis those opportunities in second and short, the third and short, maybe before the fourth and inches, and I think he can move the chains more times than not.
I kind of like the Bills pick in the fifth round, the first pick in the fifth round, center Cedric Van Pran-Granger out of Georgia, because he's a three-year starter. He's won a lot of college football games. He's won titles. He's a winner. And he's coming into a situation where, look, we all want to assume that Connor McGovern is going to slide over to center and everything is going to be good and David Edwards can slide over. Wouldn't it make sense to give Van Pran-Granger like as much of an opportunity during camp as possible to win the starting center role and slide McGovern back to guard where he excelled last year? And then instead of disrupting two spots on the line, you're only disrupting one heading into the season?
I would argue you'd be disrupting three because you don't know how Deion Dawkins is going to fare with a different guard there either. So absolutely, you know, if Van Pran-Granger can show up and play to the level that I think he can, I think that he could win that starting job, or he could have that job by the end of his rookie season. Like you said, played in a winning program, didn't miss any time, was a force in terms of the physicality that he brought to the Georgia offense. That was maybe my favorite pick, definitely my favorite pick of day three. I might even argue it's my favorite pick overall in this draft class. And shout out to Catherine Fitzgerald of the Buffalo News for calling him Cedric the Centertainer. Great nickname for this guy coming into the league. He doesn't, I know the Bills said that he has the versatility to play a little bit of guard. I see him as a pure center. But considering that's a need after cutting ties with Mitch Morse, I love this fit. I love this pick. And I think that, looking back at this draft class in a few years, you're going to see a guy that will be their starter for the foreseeable future of that position. Wonder how you got him in the fifth round.
All right, Ryan, I'm going to give this a crack. Ready? Okay, I'm stepping up to the plate. Here we go. Fifth round pick, Edifuan Olufashio. Is that right?
Better than I could say. Yeah, I've been struggling with that last name a little bit here myself. Solid linebacker at Washington. I think he's more of a special teams player than anything else out of the gate, but you give him a year or two to learn the system. We've seen the way that the linebackers have taken to water here. Terrell Bernard, the way that he came on and start after a very shaky rookie season. I'm expecting big things out of Dorian Williams in year two. You saw what Tyrell Dodson did last year. Obviously he left in free agency, but this team has done a good job of coaching up their linebackers, and in time I could see him at least being part of a depth rotation there, but great special teams players. That could be his role on day one. They have to replace some of these players they lost in free agency, Dodson, Tyler Medikevich, who's still out there. You need those types of players on special teams.
All right, so talk us through the benefits of taking Travis Clayton with the first pick in the seventh round, Ryan, a guy who's never played football before but has that international player pathway program attached to him, and the size, which is something that I'm sure will turn a lot of heads when we get to see him this summer at St. John Fisher.
Yeah, freakish athleticism in the pro day that he had, that he showed off and displayed. And when you see that, you sit there and you say, okay, I know he's never played football, but he does have experience doing, was it boxing, rugby, rowing, and possibly one other thing in there too. The athleticism is there. Now it's about coaching him up. And listen, if I had to pick a positional coach on this team that has coached up players better than anyone else, I could make the argument for Aaron Cromer. Just his entire body of work in his career, what we've seen from him in Buffalo though too, what he did with Osiris Torrance as a rookie, getting him out there as a starter on day one, what he's done with Ryan Vandermark, what he's done with Alec Anderson, getting them both on the 53. Clayton is going to be someone that is going to have that extra practice squad spot on the Bills roster. You're going to be able to bring him along. You're not having any expectations for him, and you're just expecting Kromer to be able to kind of bring that game out of Clayton. And based on the intangibles, if Kromer can do that, they're going to have a force on this offensive line in Clayton. And, you know, going even back to Tylan Grable, Grable's another guy that I liked as a developmental prospect. I think that he is going to struggle to make the roster, and they would have to try to stash him on the practice squad. But this guy was a high school quarterback that then transitioned over to tight end and then onto the offensive line. He's only been playing offensive line for 4 years, but he did such a good job at UCF that he had a draftable grade going into this draft, and you see all the tools there. So two of those last three picks with the offensive linemen, offensive tackles, the potential at least is through the roof.
Yeah, Ryan, I always think that if you are somebody that's drafted in the seventh round, would you rather be drafted in the seventh round, or would you rather be an undrafted free agent, maybe go to a spot that maybe you think is better for you or somewhere you want to go? I mean, what do we make of it that Frank Gore Sr., who I'm sure had a big voice and where his son would land after he didn't get drafted, that the Bills are, we're actually going to see Frank Gore Jr. out at Fisher, perhaps? I feel pretty old here, Ryan.
Yeah, you and me both, and I'm sure we'll see Frank Gore there once or twice too, senior that is, checking out his son. And, you know, I like Frank Gore Jr. The Bills brought him in for a 30 visit. He had back-to-back seasons of over 1,000 yards rushing, 4,000 yards total in his college career. The skills are there to be, you know, not like a three-down back, but to be part of a rotation. For the Bills, it'll be tough to make that roster. We've already talked about the options with James Cook, Ty Johnson, you bring in Ray Davis. That's three right there. So if he does do a good job at training camp, again, you put him on the practice squad. And with the way players get injured in this league, it could be just a matter of time before he gets elevated and gets an opportunity. The fact that he didn't get drafted and the fact that, you know, Frank Gore is so high end, Brandon Bean spoke very highly of him after the draft when Frank Gore Jr. signed with the Bills. That also says a lot about what he thought of his time in Buffalo, despite it being just for a short span of time.
Ryan, apparently the Bills only want to sign guys named Mike Edwards as well. We have another Mike Edwards as an undrafted free agent coming in out of Campbell, but he's got a lot of size, and he's somebody that I think we'll be paying attention to as well this summer.
Yeah, again, 6 feet, 7 inches, 340 pounds, former four-star recruit as well. So, sometimes you wonder, like, you know, why didn't it connect? Why didn't this player take off in college? He ended up playing at Campbell, did pretty well there in his final year. But the Bills are just all about drafting monsters and seeing if they can kind of develop these guys. Spencer Brown, they were able to get it done. Tommy Doyle's had some injury issues, but he was another one of those big prospects that they've brought in. They have a type that they like for offensive tackle, that's for sure.
So, Ryan, players that are invited to Bill's rookie minicamp, which is upcoming here, that does not mean that they are on the roster, correct? That means they have to kind of earn it. So, I mean, historically speaking, like, what's kind of the expectation here that these guys are coming in and maybe one or two slots perhaps available?
I think one or two is probably just about right when you look at this. And you know, you'd like to probably be able to sign three or four of them, but the Bills don't have that many roster spots to necessarily put toward these mini camp invites. But, you know, Michael Fortney, a Wisconsin O-lineman, they really targeted O-linemen. There's a few corners. I like Travis Blackshear from Furman. The linebacker from Jacksonville State had a nice career. So they have some guys here, Sheridan Jones from Clemson, the UB kicker has a rookie minicamp offer from the Bills and Packers. So an interesting assortment of players for sure.
Ryan, where do the Bills stand right now in terms of how many players they can still sign? Because we know that if they sign a free agent moving forward, it won't count against them in the comp pick formula. And I remember it was around, you know, this time last year that Leonard Floyd became a Buffalo Bill. And I know there's still plenty of free agents out there. So where do they stand with cap, with roster space? Can we expect to see Brandon Bean make another move here before we get to OTAs?
Yeah, the last I checked, I think they would now be at 84 players. They just added another UDFA today from Miami Hurricanes. I think they're at 84. They have about six spots left. You would think though that after June 1st, once that $10 million cleared from the Trey White deal, they might bring in another veteran wide receiver. I don't think they're necessarily going to be in a rush rate to get to 90 exactly, but they have a little wiggle room there. But cap space wise, it's still about $3 million. It's not great. So they're going to probably have to wait a little bit to bring in any kind of players that might be able to provide some sort of impact this season.
So for fans that may be holding out hope, boy, this wide receiver room needs a little bit of a added to it here. The big swing of, say, one of those San Francisco wide receivers, or, you know, a wide receiver that might want to get paid like an Odell Beckham Jr., that it seems pretty far-fetched. Is that fair to characterize it that way, Ryan?
Yeah, I think that's extremely fair to categorize it that way. You're not going to be trading for any of the big-name receivers from San Francisco. You're not going to be getting T. Higgins from the Bengals. If Odell Beckham Jr. lowers his asking price or has it in a realistic range, maybe. I think you're probably looking at a DJ Chark, who they brought in for a 30 visit years ago. Maybe an older guy like Allen Robinson. Someone in that category that can maybe catch 20, 25 passes in this offense, be someone that's lower on the depth chart, but also help this young wide receiver room.
Ryan, what do you got going on this week at New York Upstate that we can check out? We love the undrafted free agent tracker. And what are you and Matt dialing up here for the Shout podcast this week as well?
Yeah, so this week I'm going to kind of break down all the Bills picks in terms of getting to know them a little bit. It gets a little hectic on draft day trying to write those pieces up. So I'll be bringing those articles out throughout the week. Matt and I will kind of give our final thoughts on the rookie class here this week. We'll talk a little bit about the UDFAs, which players have a path to the roster, if any. Who do we like of the UDFAs? So things like that. And then, you know, before you know it, we'll be in a few months' time at least talking about training camp here, and look forward to that.
Yeah, and the schedule release too. I mean, I would like that. May is coming up here very shortly. Ryan, appreciate all the work that you and Matt are doing. Thanks for giving us a few minutes here today.
Absolutely, guys.
Ryan Talbot, you can read his work at newyorkupstate.com. That's where you can find his undrafted free agent tracker 2024. Again, newyorkupstate.com, the Shout podcast. Always appreciate when Ryan joins us, in his co-host on the Shout podcast, Matt Perino of the Syracuse Post-Standard, joins us tomorrow at 3:25 to talk more Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, and that seems about right, like 84, 85. So there are a few slots that would be available. Maybe they go a couple of these slots here to this Bills rookie mini camp, and we'll discuss that with Matt tomorrow as that becomes a little more, you know, in focus there. He did bring up one thing, Danger, and I wanted to kind of get your take on this. I know your team drafted, the Bears drafted a punter, and I'm not in favor of spending it. You got to be right.
They didn't just draft a punter. They drafted Iowa's best player, Gene. Show some respect.
Yeah, that's exactly the vibe I want to like kind of bring over for my offense. You know, like, are we really sure on Tyler Bass? He's coming off his worst season, and you could say, well, it was the holder. Well, you know, just shake it off. Well, whatever. The idea that you're bringing in UB's kicker to rookie minicamp, I would hope they bring in somebody to compete with Tyler Bass.
I think they're invested in Bass, but I also think he's a kicker. So you can pull that trigger at any point. They've shown that they have no problem changing their plan at the last minute, going in a different direction. We saw it in training camp a couple of years ago with the punt god, and we've seen it with punter in the past, and I don't know why they would all of a sudden show loyalty to Tyler Bass when they haven't shown that kind of loyalty to their punters in the past. They can move on. Even though they're invested, they could find another Tyler Bass.
Oh, my gosh, you brought a punt god. I totally forgot he's in Kansas City.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Every offseason move, they're going to rub our nose. And I can't believe you went on Binkley's show yesterday. I mean, that had to have been painful for you.
I should kind of, because they played some clip of a Bills fan ranting, bleeping everything out, going over everything. And they didn't even bring that up. It's the 13 seconds. It's this. And we welcome in, OJ. And I'm like, my first line was, why did I agree to come on to this? That was it. You know,
that's right. Why did we agree to let him on Friday? We got some pushback on that from Bills fans. No, like, what are we doing? everything that the Chiefs are doing. It's almost as if they're doing it as if to say, you can't do it, but we can. You can't draft Xavier Worthy, but we can. You can't roster the punt god, but we can. You can't make it to the Super Bowl, but we can. It's maddening. And oh, by the way, today, Travis Kelce gets an extension. He's not going anywhere for another two seasons.
The line from Binkley that the one set to sit there and take it like, yeah, you know, I was really excited for you guys finally to get the opportunity to feel what it's like to draft 32nd.
Yeah.
But even you couldn't do that, right? Yeah. Oh, okay, great. Thanks,
Jeff. Well, I just enjoyed saying that the Bills were on the clock when we were on the air on Friday. I don't know that we'll ever get the chance to say that again. The Buffalo Bills are on the clock. But it's Keon Coleman, and this draft class is one that we might look back at and be like, what if? Or we might have a few surprises. There are always a few surprises. And for anybody that's reading up on draft grades in the days after the draft is completed, remember the one grade that really is blanketing over the entire draft, and that's incomplete. You can't really judge how any team's draft class plays out until you see it in action. And for the Bills, hey, Keon Coleman seems like a bit of a departure from what they like or what they've said that they've liked all these years. Separation. Guys, separate. I mean, he's a likable guy, fun character.
Like, he's got good hands. Like, if you had
good hands,
like, if you had to pick qualities in a wide receiver, I know, like, what would be at the top of the
I'll
list?
I'll say this. Keon Coleman makes that catch that Diggs didn't make. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I like Diggs. I've always liked Diggs. I think Diggs is still a wide receiver one. But Keon Coleman probably makes that catch. His hands are... He's got giant hands. He's a big dude. He can go up and get it. Diggs is a separator. He's an elite route runner. Keon is not an elite route runner. He struggles with some of these routes. But if he can do a couple of them really, really well, maybe you have something. Maybe you find different ways to use him outside of just the X role on the outside. It'll be interesting to see what Joe Brady does with some of these weapons. And yeah, we don't know what Justin Shorter is. Like, Justin Shorter and Keon Coleman feel interchangeable to me. They feel like the same receiver.
See, I think Shorter is the guy who's going to go over the top more often. But again, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, the thing, we have to hit the reset button with Joe Brady running the offense. And now you can just kind of draw it up the way you want. Are we really buying, though, that Josh Allen, like, text him right away, hey, you're my guy? Who's going to say that to whatever wide receiver?
Keon Coleman on going back and forth on text with Josh Allen.
Yeah, he texted me, you know, the day of. I was like, you know, you the guy I wanted. I watched a lot of receivers, and, you know, I won't play with you. And I'm like, I've been saying the same thing. I want to go play the guy that went number 17. And, you know, he's a great quarterback. I think he's one of the best in the league right now. And, you know, I would love to be catching passes from him. I'm ready for that.
Now, if that's true, that's great news for the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen got his guy. Not the guy that the scouts and the, you know, pre-draft prognosticators thought would make most sense for the Buffalo Bills. He got his guy. He liked Keon Coleman. If that's true, then great. You've got a guy that can go up and get it. Not necessarily separate, but with those big hands and that physicality can maybe win you some games. But even Brandon Bean is kind of like pumping the brakes on what Coleman could be early. And I think we all have to remember that early on, you might not see the kind of production out of Keon Coleman that you saw out of Steph Diggs the first few games of last year.
Well, would you sign up, though, for Dalton Kincaid? Yes. Dalton Kincaid, remember the first four games. I remember how many times we talked to Matt Perino and everybody else. Hey, what are they doing with this kid? They're not using him. Use him. And maybe whether that was by design or was just Dorsey didn't know what he was doing with him, I would expect the kind of the same sort of pattern.
Sean McDermott isn't very quick to hand the keys over to a rookie, right? I mean, you have to kind of show it. You have to kind of show up.
Trey White.
That was the one.
Who else?
I mean, Ed Oliver got on the field right away as a rookie. Rousseau got on the field. But I mean, like, these are guys that I still, when we talk about Oliver and Rousseau, like, I still feel like they're developing, even though they shouldn't be at this stage of their NFL career.
Well, I'll give you an example of one player. They're like, hey, wait a second. They drafted, and then you really didn't see, and then last year, like, whoa. How many times do we talk about the middle linebacker position? Well, it's Bill Inspector. It's going to be, you know, Dodson. No, all along it was Bernard. We just didn't know what we had in Bernard. Yeah. And then when he was out there, wow. Yeah, wow.
Wow.
That's one thing I kind of learned from you, Danger. Easiest impression.
Oh, Owen Wilson?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we gotta find, we gotta write some copy for Owen Wilson to read, because there's a cadence to Owen Wilson, and there's also like a tone to Owen Wilson. Like, he always kind of plays the same guy. He's always surprised. That's why wow is the easiest thing to say, because he always kind of like feels like he's like either he's surprised or he's trying to defuse a situation.
Well, Owen, I know you haven't heard about, you know, the Buffalo Bills here in the last 3 months, but let me tell you, they traded Stephon Diggs.
Wow. Really? You move on from Diggs? We have happy hour on the way next. We have time for your calls at 866-4FAN, 866-4326. And we'll recap this draft class and some of the undrafted free agents of note. That's all coming up next on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.